Today our Bible reading is from, the first section is from John 2, 23 through 25. And it says, "Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs that he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person." Our second reading is in Luke 8, about 42 through 48. "As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.'"
Through Luke's Gospel, we're looking at the theme of following Jesus, follow me. And the question always will come up every Sunday morning, am I truly following Jesus? Because that is what we are called to do. And today, I thought, last Sunday, we looked at faith and the way that Jesus had faith. He was asleep in the boat when the storm came, and he was completely relaxed about the situation, while the disciples, who many of them were very much experienced in fishing and going out in boats in on that lake, they were terrified. And the importance of us having, like Jesus, a total faith, a complete faith and trust in our God and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to look at faith again, because it's such a huge theme through all of the Gospels, and especially Luke. And when Jesus, often when he healed people, he acknowledged their faith. And faith is such an important factor, a part of our Christian experience. And if we're going to be following Jesus, it starts with faith. Now, I am not ever going to be political in this church, either here on the preaching, or personally, or on Facebook, or anything. All right, I'm not political. But we're in the middle of a huge lead-up to an election, and I want to use it as an illustration. See, when you choose who you will vote for, you are trusting that person, if we look at the actual candidates. You're putting your trust in that person. The presidential candidates have followers, and they believe in them. They believe that they will do what they say they're going to do and lead this country. And so the whole country is divided, of course, because of the issues relating to this whole lead-up to the election. But the faith in the candidate is what leads them to then follow through and vote. And so we have to see the importance of faith in Jesus. If we're going to follow him, it starts with faith. We need to believe in him, believe who he is, and then believe that he will do what he says he will do. And that leads us to then follow him. If we are following Jesus without a strong and a solid faith in Him, then we will easily turn aside from that. It starts with faith. And so faith that follows, as James 2 says, the body without the Spirit is dead. And so faith without works is dead. If you say you have faith and there's no evidence in your life, well then it's dead. It's not real faith. So faith leads to following, to obeying the Lord Jesus and following Him in our lives. And in Luke chapter 4, we read that when Jesus went back to His own hometown, He was not able to do many miracles. He was not able to even preach much because he was taken out and thrown, or they tried to throw him off a high hill just near the town and kill him because he spoke the way he did. And yet that was the town that he was brought up in, and it says they didn't believe. He went back to Galilee and people believed, and then many, many people were healed and great things happened back in Galilee, but not in his hometown because of their familiarity with him, and they didn't believe who he was because he was brought up there. He was a kid running around, and he worked with his father probably in the carpenter shop. And so because of their lack of faith in who he was, they didn't believe, they didn't follow, and Jesus couldn't do miracles there in his hometown. Our story today is one of many in the Gospels where faith is emphasized. And this woman was 12 years with menstrual blood flow. And people were pressing around Jesus. It says in that reading we just had in Luke that they were crushing him. It was like there were his disciples, there were the people who had come from all over, who had heard about Jesus and wanted to see and listen to him. There were probably people from Jerusalem who had come to check him out, scribes and Pharisees, or ones that they had sent. And this huge crowd was around Jesus. And in the mix of that, there was one woman who, after 12 years of being ostracized because of her flow of blood, 12 years trying different physicians and different methods of healing, finally came to Jesus and pushed her way somehow through the crowd to actually touch the hem of his garment as he was facing the other direction. And immediately she was healed. And Jesus spun around and called her to make herself known, and then said to her, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." We live in a post-Christian culture. And I like to think of it this way, that there are many people pressing around Jesus even today. There are many people who are part of a Christian community, who come like us to church, who pray and who sing. And I just wonder how many have reached out in faith and touched Jesus, who have experienced His power in their lives, His power in your life. Because it's very easy to be part of the crowd around Jesus. He's an amazing person. He's the Son of God. He came from heaven. He died on a cross. He rose again. He is God's Son. And for people crowding around, as it were, people who belong to a church, but how many have reached out in faith and personally received Christ? It's really possible to be brought up in a Christian home and to know the truths about Jesus, and to know what the Bible says, and to pray prayers and sing praise songs, and never have had a life-changing, transformation by faith in Jesus when He comes and dwells in our hearts and lives and transforms us. Here was one woman in the crowd. So many people touching Jesus, but her touch was a touch of faith. She reached out to Jesus, wanting Him to heal her, trusting Him to heal her. And she alone received that life-changing power. Jesus said, "Power has gone out from me." He experienced His power healing that woman on that day. You see, it's easy to believe what the Bible teaches, in a sense. I mean, the Bible says in James that even the demons believe. And you know what? They tremble. They believe, but they're not blasé about it. They know it's real, and they tremble. They know who Jesus is. They know what the future holds for this world and for them, and they tremble. And that kind of faith is the same as some people who might just believe in their heads about Jesus and have never reached out in faith and personally reached out to Him in faith, trusting Him to be their Lord and Savior. So what do we learn about this woman's faith from this narrative, this story? First of all, her faith was born of helplessness. And you know, that's where faith begins. Faith begins when I realize I cannot save myself. If I think I can save myself, then I don't need to trust Jesus. As it says in Galatians 2, Jesus will have died in vain if you saved by keeping the law. What's the point of Jesus dying for our sins if by keeping God's law you are saved? She was helpless. She was in a place, she realized her unworthiness. Because first of all, her medical condition. This continuous menstrual bleeding, she was not known by a name, Mary, Joan, whatever. She was known by her disease. She was the woman with the issue of blood. And as Leviticus 15 says, that a person, a woman with a flow of blood that doesn't stop, is unclean until it does stop. For 12 years, she was unclean. She was not meant to touch anyone. No one was to touch her. She probably was divorced because she couldn't have any relationships with her husband, with her family. She was an outcast for 12 years. She was lonely. She was rejected. And somehow she found, maybe she put a cloak around herself and disguised herself, but somehow she made her way, pushed her way through the crowd till she came to Jesus and touched Him in faith, and she was healed. Around the world today, you know, it's often the poorer people, the people who are nobodies, the outcasts, who are coming to faith. In India, the lowest caste, there's a huge move of God among the lower caste people coming to faith. God is at work. And I even look at our own family and friends and think, the rich ones and those who are struggling in life, and see how God seems to be, that there's an open door more to the poorer ones, to the struggling ones, than the rich ones and the ones who are quite complacent in life. It seems to be that worldwide, this is what happens. People who are displaced, refugees, those living in poverty, and so on throughout the world. It says in James chapter 2, verse 5, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He has promised to those who love Him?" And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 we read, "Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, not many of you were of noble birth, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one will boast in His presence. And we live in a rich land. And that's why I say we need to say to ourselves, have I really personally put my faith in Christ, or am I just one of the crowd? Are you? Have you? Not only did she have a disease, a medical condition, but she was a woman. And she lived in a misogynic age where women were repressed, where they were regarded as second-class citizens. Men were the ones that were up there. And so women were regarded much less than they should ever have been. And of course, we know today that is so wrong, but it's just the way the world was at that time. And so she was a woman. And so she came up behind Jesus. She felt so unworthy. She had her disease. She was a woman. Thirdly, there was a crowd. She had to somehow force her way through that crowd. And fourthly, the concerns of Jesus were elsewhere. I mean, He had been approached by this very noble person, Jairus. Jairus was the official of the synagogue, so you can't go higher than that in the Jewish community. He was right up there. He was an official. She was excommunicated from the synagogue. He was a man. She was a woman. He was rich. She was poor. He was respected. She was rejected. He was used to being honored. She was used to being scorned. She was the one that Jesus turned and healed. She was the one who touched Him in faith. And you know, Jesus shows no partiality. Whoever you are, whoever we are, if we come in faith, we receive His life and His power and His forgiveness. Someone has said, faith is born when people's ability ends. And that's true of this woman. Secondly, we learn from this woman that faith was that which believed in Jesus alone. She had tried every kind of treatment for her condition. She'd used all her money trying this medicine, trying that physician, trying in desperate ways to see her medical condition sorted. And she lost all her money. She tried everything and nothing worked. She'd come to the end of hope, as it were, except she then turned to Jesus. He was now her only hope. Sometimes we have to come to that. C.H. Spurgeon, a famous Bible teacher from last century or the century before now, he talked about this woman and how that she'd gone to all these different doctors and so on. And he said, that's like sinners today who visit other doctors, like the doctor of law keeping. You try to keep the law and see if that will solve your problem. It doesn't. The law only condemns and shows me that I'm a sinner and makes me even feel more guilty before God. So law-keeping doesn't save you. Doctor ceremonial, you know, you do these ceremonial things and in church or wherever, and that makes you right with God? No, it doesn't work. I'm still needing a touch from God. I'm still needing the power of the Spirit. I'm still needing salvation, forgiveness. Doctor orthodoxy, yes, I know all the orthodox teaching. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died and He rose again. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe all that. I'm an orthodox believer. But that doesn't save you. It's important, but it doesn't save you. I'm a church member. It says in John chapter 1, when Jesus came to His people, to all who received Him, who believed in his name, or believed in who he said he was, who he claimed to be and who he was, he gave the right to become children of God. And it says who were born not of natural descent, or not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, or not of a person's own personal decision or will, and not by the will of man, not by somebody else willing it on me. In other words, when we are born of God, when we receive eternal life and forgiveness and made right with God, it is something that doesn't come because of natural descent. Because my parents are Christians and their parents were Christians doesn't make me a Christian. It's not by blood. It's not by natural descent. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's nothing I can do. I can't earn it. I can't try and do things to make me saved and right with God. It's not by my own doing. And it says it's not by the will of man. It's nothing somebody can lay hands on me and do stuff to me and make me a Christian or make me right with God. It's not, no one else can do it for me either. It's only, it says, goes on to say, but born of God. It's something God does in response to what? To all who received him, who believed in his name. To those who received Jesus, who believe in his name, who trust in him, they are born of God. They touch in faith and are healed, forgiven and made right with God. According to Matthew's account, she thought in her mind, if only I could touch his cloak, I will be healed. She believed in Jesus alone. And faith, I'd like to put three points of what genuine faith is. Faith, first of all, is personal confidence. You're sitting in seats. Did you think about whether that seat would hold you when you sat down? I don't know whether this is strong enough for me. And you sort of, oh, maybe I better sit down carefully. No, you trust that seat completely. But first of all, if I got a rickety old chair up here and it looked pretty weak, I said, sit there. You'd look at it and think, well, I don't know. I'm not sure that I can trust that chair to hold my body. So you have to first of all come to a decision of whether you have confidence that you can trust that chair. But it goes beyond just knowledge. It then comes to commitment. If you really trust, then you'll sit in that chair. If you trust that chair, you sit down and it takes your weight. Then you're resting completely on that chair, you're trusting it to hold you up. And so that's commitment. And the third one is conduct. It's evident then in your life. I remember when we were flying once to Ireland from England, and we're flying back actually to England from Ireland, and on the plane beside us, Marg and I were there, and the girl at the window, she had white knuckles. She didn't let go of the seat until the plane landed. For the whole trip, it was only a short trip, but still, she wouldn't let her weight down on that seat. She was so frightened of flying. And the plane still got her there, but she didn't really trust flying. So when it comes to Jesus, it's like that. First of all, it starts with knowledge. You read the Bible, you read the New Testament, you see what Jesus did and who he is and who the Bible claims him to be. And that's knowledge, it's confidence in who he is. But personal commitment comes next when you actually trust him. We say, I can't save myself, I can't wash away my own sins, I can't give myself eternal life, I can't make myself be born again, so I have to trust you, Lord Jesus, to do that for me. I commit myself to you, I trust you to do that. And thirdly, it results, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, in obedience. The evidence of faith is a life of obedience. And so that's the conduct. So it's not the amount of faith we have, but the object of our faith, and that is Jesus. Finally, this woman, her faith brought her healing. It was immediate. It was just like that. And let me say, the moment you put your faith in Jesus personally, and reach out, as it were, and touch him, he touches you immediately. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And often our faith is a response to what God has revealed to us. In fact, faith is always a response to God's revelation. When God reveals, we respond in faith. When He reveals Himself in His Word, when He reveals Himself in Jesus, we respond in faith, and immediately we are born again. "Who touched me?" Jesus said. And Jesus wants all His followers to be willing to stand up and say, I've been changed. I belong to Jesus. He wants us to be witnesses, to be willing to say, it was me. And notice He calls her daughter. It's the only time in the whole of the New Testament that Jesus called a woman daughter. This one who'd been rejected, who'd been despised, who'd been lonely and all by herself and an outcast, was a daughter. "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." We're going to see a little video of this story, a song, a beautiful song. Before we do, every time, I've had a number of operations, as you know, and not only that, procedures like biopsies and so on, earlier in life, when I had a number of hernias and so on. And lately, like this last time, I say, I don't want pre-meds, which is preparation for anesthetic. I just want to have the anesthetic straight. So I put the thing in, and they say, all right, you'll feel it going up. And I say, I want to experience actually going to sleep. And I try really hard to experience the actual moment when, woo, it's working. But I never have, because I just wake up and it's all over. But I entrust my body into the hands of an anesthetist and a surgeon, and I don't know what they're going to do. I'm out to it. I'm in their hands. Totally. And that's what it's like to trust in Jesus and say, I can't save myself. I can't operate on myself. I can't fix myself up. I'm a sinner. I'm deserving of judgment and an eternal separation from God, because God is holy and I cannot live in God's presence with my sin. Therefore, I'm trusting you. And you completely give yourself to Jesus. And He heals you. He forgives you. He infuses you with His life, the Spirit of God, and you become a child of God. Let's see this song and meditate on this story before we finish up with a final prayer, or Matt will come and give the benediction. Thank you.